Ariel.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, sorry about that. Oop. I cut her off. But anyways, thank you, everybody. Here's some music.
Here as well, and I'm very excited because this week we are joined by a very, very special guest, and we'll be diving into that in just a few moments, just before we introduce the show. Later this in the show, we're going to be touching on some international stories, some new Canadian stories, in particular educational reform. Well, I say reform here in a very, very healthy dose of air quotes. Reform is the way I'm going to phrase it in the Saskatchewan educational policy, but we'll dive into that in just a few moments. Now, Sebastian, I had mentioned to you this is not the first time I've been on TikTok and seen something and gone, ooh, that's really, really interesting. And so much so, in fact, that I think there are many listeners across the whole of the Greater Toronto Area, Vancouver, Halliburton, BC, we're all over the place. I'm sure all our listeners would love to get a sense of this. So I am thrilled to welcome Benjamin on the onto the radio show today. How are you doing, Ben?
Hello. I'm doing wonderful. It's so nice to be here and in Canada, well, virtually. It's
absolutely
wonderful. Thank you.
Now, I thought your vocal cords were a bit strained this morning, and maybe we weren't able to have you on.
Yeah, I woke up. I kind of like, I don't know, busy weekend. Was playing kickball yesterday. Lots of, you know, having a good time, screaming a little bit. But I've got tea. I took some cold medicine, and we're gonna do this. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. Now, what our listeners can't see is your adorable cat in the background, which
she's
just fantastic.
I think it's snack time for her.
Oh, wonderful. All right. So the reason why I wanted to have you on is because I just organically, through our use of TikTok, found you. You are the Ben the Flirt Coach.
Yes,
on TikTok.
I go by Benjamin the Flirt Coach on TikTok and across social media.
Absolutely. And do you want to let folks know, you know, if they're looking you up, what can they expect your content to look like?
Yeah, so I love, like, you're going to see me talk about really the three big things of flirting, dating, and confidence. And I'm going to bring flirting, which is really my passion, into everything, because I talk about flirting as just being about connection. There's themes of authenticity and non-attachment and non-judgment. And it really just helps us relate and connect with one another, which I'm just all about. So it's, yeah, that's what I love talking about.
Now, I did, frankly, I don't think I did you any justice when last week I was trying to explain the motivation for bringing you on the show to Sebastian. Uh-huh. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But what really stood out to me, and correct me if I've misinterpreted you, but what really stood out to me is, in several of the videos I've seen, it's about shifting that focus to what you have more control over yourself, you know, and less about what someone else may or may not you know, feel or do or react in a certain way, and it's that
yes.
that looking inwards. That for me, I don't think we do that enough as a especially young queer folks. Mm-hmm. You know, is that a common theme, or did I just happen to land on the one video that was discussing that?
No, this is exciting for me. That's definitely something I talk about, where it's like, kind of, how do you show up to the flirt, or you're going on a first date, something like that, and it can feel like, oh, like you have to put on the best kind of first impression or say the just right thing. And so I want people to really take that pressure off of themselves and really just have more fun and feel more confident and empowered out there and just look to make a connection and ultimately just focus on that. And like, I've made some videos kind of teasing, like, here's your kind of 5 signs he likes you. And then I'm like, F the signs, right? Like, I don't want you really focusing on sort of all the signs instead of looking at ultimately, what do you want? Is this a connection that's serving you? And then looking at the bigger picture, is this kind of fitting into your overall kind of just where you're at in life?
Is this, I have a suspicion that you may have come out with the right message at very much the right time. Mm. You know, the pandemic really had us all locked up in our little rabbit holes for what felt like 37.5 years. And, you know, we've all crawled out from underneath these very large rocks that we collectively hid under. And there is a sense of, you know, honestly, if thankfully I'm in a relationship. I don't know if Jake is as thankful for it, but I am. But, you know, that's one piece. But I don't know how I would even go about flirting now. I feel like the world is a different place, you know, post-pandemic. And I shudder to even begin to think about how younger folks who were 16, 17, 18, or even 19 during the pandemic, and, you know, may not recall the before times and what flirting looked like in the before times. I'm seeing Sebastian's eyebrows raising here for our audience sake. You know, do you think that flirting has changed pre and post pandemic?
Somewhat. I mean, I'm definitely seeing this shift where, like, I don't get a lot of questions or requests about, like, how can I make sort of my best online dating profile? It's like, I'm looking to sort of move out of, kind of cut that phase out of dating and just look to have more organic connections, meeting people in person. But yeah, depending on kind of really where you're at in life and how you experience the pandemic, yeah, like, people that missed or really miss their senior years of high school and their freshman years of college. Like, there's quite a lot of those people on Flirt Talk, as I say, sort of like, how do I just get back out there and meeting people? But then it's all ultimately about the same thing and about how you show up and just feeling how you are in the moment and taking that pressure off of yourself. Talk a lot about just not having expectations of yourself and also of the other person, right? We can be so sometimes just judgmental of others. And so just always coming back to that core theme of connection, both to yourself and just keeping focused on that when you're out there flirting and dating. But we're out of practice, like we are. It's been a minute. And we're getting back out there.
One of the best moments of advice I had was something that Sebastian told me. I think he essentially told me to shut up and sit down was really the highlight summary of it. It was young, it was early in the relationship, and the novelty was starting to wear off. Mm. You know, the new excitement, the honeymoon period, and it's like, this is not as fun. But not as new anymore. And it was a case of like, oh, okay, maybe the time has come for me to move on. And I think Sebastian was talking about how queer folks, gay men in particular, have always treated each other as disposable, at least millennials and older. This idea of there's plenty of other fish in the sea, and, you know, statistically speaking, they really are not. Are you finding that that's something that's still there? Are people still struggling to treat people with a bit more humanity, put a bit more effort in for a bit longer?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it so depends. Like, I hear really great stories from people, and then other stories that are like, oh, this is definitely my experience. And I think it comes down to like what you described is kind of that ending of the honeymoon, so to speak. I call it the flirt cool down. Like, you're really kind of coming down from the high of the flirt. And ultimately, it's like when you're just getting to know someone, you're really in that stage of fantasy and desire. And so it can be sort of, how can you keep that alive? And well, my answer is flirt your way through it. I mean, like, that's going to really keep the fantasy alive, the desire alive. And so this is just kind of like the overarching thing of like, once you're making that connection, whatever it may be, and that fantasy sort of dissipates, it's like, okay, well, now what's coming next? So how can you, like, I don't know, what if you could keep that fantasy alive for longer? Like, I don't know, maybe. So I'm kind of seeing it both ways.
Hmm. People have that moment came up in part because when I was doing my graduate studies, I was in cognitive sciences and I was in a lab that was studying human interactions. And I was asked by my supervisor to read pickup artist manuals.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said is that if a straight man writes about it, it's creepy. If a woman writes about it, it may or may not, whatever. But he said if a gay man does an academic research on straight male pickup artists, then it's neutral. He said, this is the only way this can be done seriously. So I had to read dozens of these. And the crazy thing about flirting is that there are so many different frameworks on how to make it happen. And the most famous of the lot was Mystery, who later on came out and said, like, look, this is not the method on how to find a partner. You're not going to find a wife using my method. This is how you get party girls who would probably put out anyway to put out specifically with you and not somebody else. Mm. But there are people in that scene who did sort of go away from that and say, well, how do you find a partner? How do you learn to flirt in a way to find and keep a partner? Mm. And there was one that really stuck out at me, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name. They all go under these like pseudonyms, and I don't remember this guy's pseudonym, and I've been trying to look it up. But his thing was he went around studying how old people talk to each other on the presumption that they've known each other for decades.
Uh-huh.
Because people who've known each other for decades talk to each other in a different way than how other people do. Mm-hmm. And he would just listen to old people in the park talking, and they would say things like, you know, I never did understand what's the correct way to eat a peach. And then people would talk about that for like 20 minutes. And it's the kind of thing that most people would be like, is it really interesting to talk about whether or not you do glasses before cutlery or cutlery before glasses when you're washing dishes? But, you know, if you've known somebody for a long time, that's fine. And he would adapt that and actually just tested that. He would go to museums and talk to pretty girls, and he would just say things like, I never know how far away you're supposed to stand from a painting. And that would be his opening line. It's not super flirty, but it is so comfortable and familiar that there's something authentic about it. And he said, it's really weird that you can falsify authenticity, but in a way that is also authentic. That the only thing that you're falsifying is that you're skipping over all the hello, my name is, and hey, you're beautiful, and all that, and just go right to the meat. What do you want? You want somebody who's going to be with you for the next 40 years. Why not start today? As if that's how it already is. And you need guts to pull this off. But to study guts, he also studied old people. He said, when you get to the socks and sandals and cargo shorts part of your life, is that confidence or is that indifference? And at that point in time, does the difference matter? And he would start looking at what is the difference between confidence and indifference. And it never really took off because it didn't have that allure of like getting party girls that the other pickup artists had, but it always struck me as being this interesting sort of, you know, there is nothing quite so seductive as authenticity and somebody who clearly wants to be with you in the long run. And I don't know, I always thought it's an interesting realm of discussion about, like, you know, the fantasy, keeping the fantasy alive of, you know, seduction and, you know, I actually remember reading another manual from a woman who was very good at seducing men about, like, you know, the satin lingerie and the scented candles and making that sort of beautiful image of yourself and the prettiness. And it's not even about being beautiful. It's about developing a fantasy and nurturing it and drawing other people in versus how to set up an authentic experience that makes them know that they're there for something real. Mm-hmm. And both approaches, they have their they each have their means. Because like, even if you're in a long term relationship, keeping the fantasy alive is very important. Even if just for playfulness, or for, you know, letting the other person know that you're still growing and you're not stagnant, and you are the same person you were 20 years ago, but not in a bad way. That you have grown, you have learned new skills, you've got new ideas, you've got new things to contribute, even though time has passed. And seduction is one of those ways of kind of indicating that. It's a weird field to look into, on how people interact with each other.
That was a lot.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's something I have these thoughts myself a lot, too. And so, yeah, I look into them and I think about them.
I think what jumped out at me about the videos that you've posted on this is really zeroing in on the areas that we can control. You know, you can't control whether or not someone is going to ghost you or someone's going to, you know... But what you can do is manage your own expectations, manage your own your inputs and the outputs that you can you can expect. What is it that made you kind of zero in on those elements as opposed to perhaps what were flirting styles from before?
Well, I really, you know, I started always just every video was about flirting. And it was really fun, and I was having a good time, and people were paying attention, right? And, like, I was getting good feedback. And then I was like, okay, sort of what comes after this? Like, why would someone be flirting? It may not be from my perspective of, like, the gay Libra, right? It's, like, how I introduce myself sometimes, and I'm going around just flirting up a storm. But that's, how I live my life. And but other people are like, no, I'm, like, really flirting to more so date. So then I'm starting to talk more about dating and just always... like really trying to shift the perspective of, instead of keeping so much focus on the other person, really just coming from ultimately, what do you want? I talk about confidence as being knowing who you are, knowing what you want, and how to ask for what you want. And so once you can really build that, like have that framework working for yourself, I take the approach of, I want you dating less, right? But more intentionally. So going on fewer dates even, but more dates with the same person, like really looking for those kinds of connections. And just like, yeah, I really try and just give the best value I can. And I love like answering comments and going live. And so it's just, it's really fun for me to help people and like really see that shift of their feeling just more empowered and just having more fun. Like I want people having just more fun. It's going to be, there's going to be some rejection. Like there's going to be some heartbreak. That's a part of the process. Like you don't, no one's gets to just kind of skate by all of that. It's a part of it, but then how can we, right? Like there's always another flirt. How can we just get back up and get back out there when we're ready? So
I mean, I think that that is, you know, I remember dating and
I'm doing it currently. It's very difficult.
Yeah, because you invest a part of yourself into it, and you know, we've all daydreamed about, oh, you know, maybe this will happen, maybe that will happen. And how do you draw that line between wishful thinking and fantasy building and to not get disappointed if these realities you've constructed in your head don't come anywhere near true?
Yeah.
You know, how do we avoid that?
I try and sort of navigate this space where I'm actually telling people to stay delusional. Like the Lulu is a Salulu is what I talk about. And what I mean is you don't get to be delusional and then also bypass self-awareness or not hold yourself accountable or just, you know, treat someone else poorly. No, like you can then get to, you know, when you're nervous flirting or like, oh, what am I going to say? No, like remember, in delusion, none of that matters. You just get to show up and be you, and you're not thinking and just overthinking everything. But then also, oh, and I lost my train of thought. What was the other part of your question? I got so excited.
You know, I also have forgotten what I'd said. So that's that happens a lot.
Yeah, well,
on the
I
show.
Want people to be kind of in this space of delusion, but then also, you know, still be really self-aware. And I think we were talking about just like, oh, right, how to manage expectations, and that's a big part of what I talk about in flirting is. When you're out there flirting is to be just totally in the present moment. That's where you just get to be you. I know that's kind of like, what does that even mean? But it's like when you're just totally not thinking about what you're going to say next or what just happened, right? You're just there and you can be you. All the sort of overanalyzing and overthinking goes away. And with that, so do your expectations and your attachment to a specific outcome, right? If you want the number, you want the first date or the kiss, like, it's okay. Like, we're making the connection and what happens, happens, but it's going to be okay.
I wonder if that connects to that idea of, you know, how far away do I stand from the painting? You know, it's, you know, that idea of not getting caught up in the preamble and the script and the what mm-hmm. have you, but rather, I am here, this is a museum, we're enjoying it. Yeah. Do you stand be 5 feet or 4 feet, you know? I think that's excellent advice.
This is something that I've always, well, not always. It took me a long time to figure this out through a lot of, bad moments in my life. Whatever your fantasies are of your future romance, those fantasies are probably stupid. Simply because reality will always throw you a curveball that is better than anything you could have imagined. And whatever Hollywood scripted fantasy you have in your head of how your relationship's going to go down, until you're in a good relationship, you don't know what a good relationship looks like. Your fantasies are probably falling short of what's truly possible. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have, like, this is what I want. But to actually say, well, you're not that thing, so never mind. Well, they're probably something else that's perfect that you haven't realized yet because you just haven't known them long enough mm-hmm. or you haven't gotten to speak them with them long enough. Now, it doesn't mean you should push through and just, like, force every possible relationship to be that thing. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But if it's working well, then it's working well, you know? Just chill out, buddy. It's fine. Just roll with it, you know? Could be worse, could be better. It's fine. If you got something better to do, go do that better thing. If you don't have something better to do, this is working. Work with it. And I think that's actually what I said to Luke, is if you got something better to do, if you got somewhere else to be, then fine, break up with this guy. But you don't. And I've seen you together. You get along well. Mm-hmm. Could it be better? Maybe. Work on it.
Yeah. I'm wondering then, you know, we're obviously touching on some of our own anecdotes, but you've spoken to a lot of people about flirting. What is, you know, some of the most common questions that people come up with? I assume they're asking, you know, how do I flirt and maybe those kinds of things. But what's the thing that seems to recur most frequently that perhaps our listeners might be thinking, but obviously are not in the room to ask?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest is, and I mean, this is one of the top questions I get, is how do I differentiate, like, tell the difference between someone that's flirting versus just being nice, right? Like, how do I sort of read that situation and see, like, right, is this a flirt or are we just, like, sort of having some small talk kind of thing? Yeah, that's one of the for sure, the biggest.
Well, maybe as a very sociable gay man, I am pretty sure that in many of the conversations I'm having with people, there is, you know, maybe it's like 80-20, 20% flirt, 80%, you know, the weather. How do you differentiate, or do you just have to ask? You know, like what would you say to someone asking, is this a flirt or a conversation? Yeah.
One of the key differentiators to me is, and so, like, just look at my flirt framework, where you got the T of the flirt stands for tension and excitement. And what that also means is when you're out there flirting, there's kind of this momentum to it. There's an anticipation. There's like a true back and forth that feels like a real energetic connection. Like, it's you're probably smiling, you're laughing your way through it, you're having a really good time. And so, like, when you're just talking about the weather, could that be important too? Yeah. But you're maybe not having this kind of excitement about it. And so there's this big part of the flirting that's an energetic connection. And so that's the best way I can describe, like, that key difference. I can't tell you, like, you're going to be, like, this number of sort of, like, excited points or something, right? There's not really, like, a way to measure it. But when you're in it, you know it and you feel it. And that's really the difference between flirting and just small talk or anything else. It's that energetic connection. And that's another reason, like, how you know you're really making a connection. It feels good.
Now, as a stepping away from that just for a moment, I'm wondering here, and please bear with me as I ramble through this thought. I'm wondering here, you know, we've interviewed neuroscientists about, you know, pre natal development of the hypothalamus and hormone levels in pregnancy and all of the many, many different things that contribute to making a gay man, you know, in terms of genetics and so on. But I bring this up because there has always been this sense that gay men in particular are somehow a bit of a bridge or a conduit between how straight men are understood and how straight women are understood. And, you know, understanding that language perhaps a little better. Yeah. Do you find that that comes up at all? Are gay men just perhaps a little bit more flirty or a little bit more tuned into flirting?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't think it's a given. I don't think it's sort of the same for everybody, because I work in, you know, talk with a lot of gay men and queer individuals that really struggle with flirting for many reasons. It could be anxiety or putting themselves out there, just not having the experience of flirting growing up. There's this big theme in flirting, too, that comes up really for everyone of, you know, to flirt, you have to give attention, but then you're expected to receive it back. And so what happens when you're able to give but then not receive? And so ultimately, it's it really kind of, I'm losing my train of thought again. I'm so excited.
So it's not a special genetic gift of the gays.
Okay. Now I was going, it's that cold medicine. It's been surprising to me that most of the people that are, you know, clicking follow and are leaving comments are straight women. And then I can look at my analytics, and that's been very surprising to me. I thought just putting myself out there and really not being specific on sort of any one group, but more so talking about like how to turn him on. Like I'm very much kind of gendered in my delivery a lot of the times, but it's been women that are like really here. And then gay men as well, but then such a cross section of queer individuals and non-binary. And I'm finding, you know, making content for poly people and just non-monogamous relationships. And so it's been, so many people are showing up with such a variety of experiences, and it's really unique and special to be in this position where I feel like I can talk to so many individuals, but at the same time, stay true to myself and just relay my message. And it's been really great. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. And at the same time, I'm like very soon going to, like, I've got to call out a lot of the coaches, like dating coaches that are providing information to straight guys, that is very bad. And that's something that, like, if I'm really going to show up as a coach and really want to be here in this industry and taken seriously, I think I have to start doing. And so that's one thing, like, we're working on it, because they're not giving good advice. So it's interesting to sort of be having that experience now, too, where I'm like, I'm in it and I have a real like stake in things. And I disagree with some of the advice out there.
Now, we are speaking to a lot of people in their cars. They're driving to and from work. A lot of men in the cars, I assume, are sheepishly staring straight ahead down the road as we're talking to you. We are definitely talking to you right now. You know, I'm sure the wives in the car or the husbands who have you would love to see a little bit more romance. Oh, like, I can tell you, getting my partner to be remotely romantic is like drawing blood from a stone, that stone being on the moon. It's just, it is strenuous at best. But let's, you know, what is one tip that we can give all of our lovely, we'll specify here, what would be a really good tip for some straight men out there who are listening on how maybe they can step up their flirting game?
Sure. Yeah. Straight guys need flirt tips, too. We can't exclude them. Not completely. And they're getting some good advice, too, for sure. And I hope this is going to be some good advice for them. So one thing is, I love just playing with the element of surprise and spontaneity. So like, this is one example I use from my own parents. It's from my mom and stepdad. And they play this game where they have these little sort of action figures, figurines, like a stuffed animal, something like that. And we'll hide it all over the house, maybe with a note or like a little gift. Sometimes it's just by itself, but it's this game that's ongoing, and maybe you find multiples in a day. Maybe it's like a few days goes by, right? The hiding places were really good, but it's fun. Like, there's some real flirting there, right? Because there's excitement. There's some anticipation. You're both in on it. And there's just, it creates this element of spontaneity and surprise. So how can you bring that into your relationship? Like, has it been a while since you've been on a date night? Have you been like holding off on a weekend getaway and you want to like surprise your special person with that? So, and it doesn't have to be anything like that too, like breaking up routines instead of watching TV after dinner or something, going for a walk, and just like, but making it really intentional and really special. So bringing some surprise and